Read from verses 8 to 20. Revelation 1, 8 to 20. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like a burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we summarize the I Am sayings, and as we look to this final one, will you draw your people into an ever-deepening relationship with yourself? The fact, the one who is, I am. We ask in his name. Amen. We have spent the summer concentrating on Jesus' statements of his identity as found in John's gospel. And I put out for you today a sheet, by the way. Some of you have copies that start with number one, and some of you have 2-2. Okay. That's because when my computer copied it, it did something to it. So there's one. Change 2 to 1, okay, on that list. But those are the ones, the 8 of them, when you count the Alpha and Omega, so that you have the locations of each one of those statements to have in your Bibles or on your fridge. Well, the 8 statements, and the order in which they're in John's Gospel, is I am the bread of life. And then I am the light of the world. Then I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And they are tremendous statements. We're going to look at them all together in a moment. But Alpha and Omega, the one we come to this morning, are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. So we use the expression from A to Z. Alpha and Omega is like the expression A to Z. But usually the meaning has to do with completeness and thoroughness. If it's from A to Z, it covers the whole topic. So when he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, it's covering everything. So, first of all, what did Jesus mean by the I Am statements? And then what does Jesus mean by the I Am the Alpha and the Omega statement? Well, in the meaning of the I Am statements, they are more than an announcement of his arrival. In John 6:20, he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. But when he said that, it's an announcement of his authority. He is the one, and it's a solution to fear. It is I, what's he say? Do not be afraid. Aren't we told time and time again in Scripture, fear not, fear not, fear not? So one of the purposes of the I Am statements was more than to announce that he's here, but to announce that he has authority, and therefore we don't have to be afraid. Secondly, it's more than a clarification of identity. In the passage, John 8, he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just as what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So while he clarified his identity, it was more than that. It was a statement of equality, that he and the Father were co-equals. In verse 29, it said, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." He and the Father are equals, which is then an invitation to faith. Because in verse 30, after this, it says, as he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus doesn't clarify his identity simply so we have more head knowledge, but so that we know he is God in the flesh and that we come to believe and trust in him. Thirdly, the I am statements are more than an assistance in a search. Now, many people are in a search, but in John 18, they were in a search. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to him, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So his I am statements are also a statement of majesty. That, as we say, majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own. A statement of his majesty. But a cause of humiliation. The bigger Jesus looks in our eyes, the more we see what we are not and what we need to be. That's not a cause for despair, because the grace of God deals with what we need. But we need to see that, and that's what he was identifying. Fourthly, the I am statements are more than a response to interrogation, more than a response to questions. And for this one, I go to Mark 14. "But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him and to say to him, 'Prophesy.' And the guards received him with blows." His I am statements are a statement of deity. Jesus clearly says, by the use of the phrase "I am," that he is God, which leads to the charge of blasphemy, which is what he was tried for, that he claimed to be God. It's also more than an error of grammar. If you were to say, "Before Abraham was, I was," that would be what you expect, wouldn't you? Before Abraham was, I was. But he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And you say, that's wrong grammatically. Right, but it's more than a statement, an error of grammar. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And that is a statement of eternity. Before Abraham was, I am. Not I was born, I came to, I existed, but I am. Which overcomes your local Jehovah's Witness who believes that Jesus was the firstborn of all creation. Firstborn means belonging to God, okay? But not firstborn, because he is eternal, like the Father and like the Spirit. And the threat of death that came with that, you find all through the Old Testament. Exodus 3:14, Isaiah 41:4, 43:10, and 46:4. By saying that, he guaranteed death from a human perspective, because he was claiming to be eternal. So the I am sayings are very important for all those reasons you see on your notes, right? And when you look back at them and do them as a sweep, okay, remember that God's gospel and these were the I Am statements are, is primarily written as a witnessing tool to unsaved people. Of all the books in the New Testament, it is John's gospel that you give to someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in every chapter, they see something about him that will lead to chapter 20 and 31. These things I have written, that you may know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing on him, you may have life in his name. So the book of John exists for that purpose. And here the I Am statements kind of establish all of these things I've said. But what about the meaning of the I Am Alpha statement as we come to that one this morning? Well, the Alpha is the beginning. And the Greek word for Alpha, beginning, is arche. Arche. You ever heard the word archetype? That fits there. The beginning type. Archetype. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. He's the beginning in three ways. The Lord Jesus Christ is the beginning of creation. In Revelation 3:14 it says, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. If you wonder if Jesus was eternal, realize that everything that was made by him. No, it says in the beginning God, and God created. But that's God in a plural sense with a singular verb in Hebrew. So the Trinity already exists in the first section of Genesis. And John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt with. Nothing was made that was not made by him. So the Alpha is the beginning. He's the beginning of creation. So when you look at yourself and you see that it says everything about you was formed in your mother's womb, Jesus is your creator. He's also the first cause of creation. It was he who created it. And thirdly, in Colossians says this so very clearly, he is the ruler of creation. In him, all things hold together. And you've heard me say on more than one occasion, I consider the providence of God an even greater miracle than the creation of God. And I use the illustration, keeping an old car running is easier than putting a new car together. So when you create from nothing, you've got something that's working. But when you keep everything working the right way, that's an incredible thing because of all the intangibles and all the complications. Well, when he says, I am the beginning, the Alpha, he's the beginning of creation. He's the first cause of creation. He's also the ruler of creation. And then secondly, the Alpha is the first. And the Greek word for first is protos. Protos. You ever heard of prototype? Okay. Well, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And the first is the preeminent one. The prototype is the one that everything else is modeled after. He's preeminent. And the first doesn't accept second place. Isaiah 44:6, it says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me, there is no other. So he's Alpha in the sense he's beginning. He's Alpha in the sense he's first. But he won't accept second place. And I've been thinking about this week. And as I've been thinking about the questions that you've given me to resolve or to look at, it's not a question that we can accept our own interpretation of anything. He has first place, and he has the only place. And to have any other view of who Jesus Christ is fails to see him for the Lord that he demands that he be to us. It's a privilege he's given us grace, but it's a responsibility to see him as the first. not only the beginning, but in first place. What's the meaning of the Omega statement? Well, the Omega is the end, and the Greek word there is telos. Telescope, where you see through the end. Well, the end is the goal or the objective. 1 Peter 1:9 says, obtaining the outcome or the objective of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the end is the goal, and Christ is the goal, the Omega, the end. We are to be with him for all of eternity. We are to be like him. We will see him as he is. So he's the end. But the end is also the perfecter, the finisher. And if you think about Hebrews, it talks about Jesus Christ being the author and the perfecter of our faith. So the Omega is the end. The goal and the objective is to be like him and to be with him and for him to be the perfecter of us. But the end is also the terminator, not the movie. 1 Peter 4:7 and 17. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome or the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? He is the terminator. He brings end to history. It will be Christ's return that sets up the new heavens and the new earth and all that is to take place beyond what we know in the time capsule we're in now. So he is then the goal, the objective, but he's also the end. And this is a terminator. He brings in the finality. And he also says the Omega is the last. In the Greek word there is eschatos, from which we get eschatology, which is the study of last things, which means that he has the last word. When we have discussions with people, we like to get the last word in, don't we? Okay, let me tell you, you're not going to get the last word in with Jesus. The last word that you and I want to hear is what? Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Master. The last word we don't want to hear is what? Depart from me, I never knew you. But after that, there's no appeal. There's no word for us beyond those words. For he is the last, because he's the preeminent one. He is the last word. And my friends, there is no appeal after him. You cannot go to a higher court. You can get arrested for something. And you can make an appeal to an appeals court if you're convicted. And you can go all the way to the Supreme Court. But you can't go higher than Jesus Christ's words, which are either, well done, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Master, or depart from me, I never knew you. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Will you lift him up in your thinking? Will you see, and will you put before the people with whom we have to do day upon day, the fact that we are Christians, Christ followers, those being transformed by Christ's grace? He is our Savior, but he is also our Lord. There is no other choice that works. Father, we pray you will help us to get just a magnificent view of who you are in your Son. And as we reflect in the days to come upon the statements your Son made about who he was, in each case he says, I am. He is you. And he is all of those images and all of those work, and has all of that authority to which we obediently and wonderfully and willingly submit by grace and by faith. We ask you to help us do this in Jesus' name. Amen.